right. Good evening. Welcome to all those people who are participating with this call over the internet, BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. We have some more people checking in on the phone line. Welcome those people. Every time you hear a ding, somebody comes in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Maryland. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. Hi.
For being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello. Hi. It's Jim in Sedona. How are you?
Doing well, Jim. Thank you for being here. How are you doing?
Thank you for being here, especially. I am kicking high and reaching the ceiling.
All right.
Actually, Heist, I just had my 67th birthday, and I'm on the bright side of senility.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The recording.
Ding.
Ding. Good evening, Rocket to the same location.
Hi, good evening, Edna.
I hear good evening, Chris, and I hear Edna. Guten Abend, Edna.
And Cindy, Peoria, Arizona.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Wynn.
Huh? Is Terry there?
Yes.
What are
Hello,
you doing
Terry.
Here
I'm Wynn.
Hi.
Hey, guys, I like your interview, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're trying to think if we can interview you, Chris.
You'd have to give me advance notice so I could be really grounded, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alternative ways of expanding one's consciousness.
We just had another man rock to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Fred in Eagle River, Alaska.
Good evening, Fred. Thank you for joining us.
And I'm pretty sure this is Steve at Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hello to those who came in.
I think we're ready. What do you say, hi? It's 6:03.
All right. I will turn the signs off.
Okay, and we'll start the recording. And
this conference is being recorded.
Today is September 18th. Is it the 18th? Yes, we got it. 2013, and we are making it into 2013. It looks like, knock on wood, we're not going into Syria. And I don't think that solved all our problems, but it solved a huge one, okay? Because my indications are it would have impacted us in a dramatic way, which I don't know what it would have done if we did that. So I'm glad world opinion, and maybe we helped. Who knows? We've been putting that in the light on the last Sundays, and I wouldn't take credit for that. We're just part of a growing consciousness on our planet, growing awareness on our planet. And of course, we might be at a leading edge, one of the leading edges, but that's for you to decide. I mean that we are constantly bringing through certain kinds of, besides great energy on the calls, besides lots of wisdom and ways of looking at things, we're bringing through certain times information about the big picture of things that has never been brought forth, to my knowledge, on this planet. And that is quite amazing. Now, we might be wrong. That's the kind of stuff that you can't validate. So I can validate the energy. I can feel the energy. Many of you can feel the energy. I can validate the wisdom, because sometimes it comes from me, sometimes it comes from them. And I can tell well, you know, when things, looking at patterns, seeing the undercurrent of patterns that causes things to happen in the physical. Now, when it comes to certain parts of information, some of it can't be validated. I think one of the most amazing things about this whole Anunnaki, we had a question about that from someone tonight, this whole Anunnaki incident on Earth, is that is validatable. In other words, if somebody was writing legitimate history and was looking at a combination of Zachariah Sitchin, who was translating the Sumerian tablets and got this whole story of the Anunnaki off of it, and Michael Tellinger, who was exploring South Africa and finding evidence of gold mining and strange anomalies that would lend itself to look like there was something there, if one was looking at all that, that's pretty good evidence. Well, you know, you couldn't say it's proof, but it's, hey, you know what? When you're trying to figure out history, and you, what is proof anyway? I mean, what is proof of the Old Testament? What is proof of anything that's written? How do you know it was true? And yet people, scholars, put together all kinds of histories of everything and say this is the way it was. In fact, they even put together histories of things that happened 50 years ago that are completely wrong. And the reason they're wrong is because someone wants it to be wrong. Someone wants it to look that way. Things like JFK's assassination. There's no way it happened the way history has written it. Many, many things. If you want to pick up the carpet and look, you'll end up being shocked. But that's not the purpose of our calls, I'm just mentioning. Don't believe things that come from anywhere, particularly the TV and the news and the newspapers and this consensus reality, because so much of that is being controlled and so much of it is intentionally designed to keep people into a reality system of acquisition, of needing money, and then keeping them from making money, making it hard and impoverished, so everyone feels unworthy. Because, do you know, and I know this experience, and you probably know it, have you ever really been low on money, and how immediately feelings of unworthiness attach to that? Now, being low on money doesn't make you unworthy. Being broke doesn't make you unworthy. It just means you're broke. You're not unworthy. But we have, in this culture, a total projected belief system that when you don't have money, you're worthless. And then you start looking for a job, and you keep saying, I am worthless. Give me a job. I am worthless. I need a job. I am worthless. I need a job. You realize how hard it is to get a job or to make something happen when you're saying to yourself, I am worthless. You are not worthless. You are a part of all that is in a body. And whatever your external circumstances are, it's your job to bypass those circumstances. Bypass consensus reality. Bypass what society might project on you, and know that you are worthwhile. You are part of all that is. There's a piece of all that is that lives inside of you, lives inside of every one of you. And you can know that in your mind, and I could say that, but that doesn't mean you've learned how to connect with it. But if you want to connect with it, it starts out with your intention. Your intention to say, I want to make this connection. And then you have to be tough in your intention. You have to be repetitive. Because in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I don't know if you, we have so many things we're giving away for free on the Spirit Channel. There's so many triggers, positive triggers, that can help release things if you listen to those audios. And I know many of you are doing it. We haven't had time to organize them the way they should be. There's things in there that are priceless, and but it's up to you to use it. If you don't use it, nothing will happen. Because it is not easy to move out of the consensus reality here. You've been programmed your entire life. Your parents were programmed. You're programmed in your other lifetimes. You've had loads and loads of lifetimes. And suddenly somebody says, hey, you can be more than you are. And, you know, you have to start out like saying, is that possible? Is there more of me here that I haven't discovered? And you have to start out looking for it. And you have to start out finding the keys, reading things about people who made that transition, who discovered they were more than they thought they were, because everyone here, including me, is more than they think they are. And they have more potential. And it's just about reinventing yourself. But it's not easy. It's not. It's like people go through lifetimes as it's called an adept. Once you decide that you want to experience the larger parts of you, you want to experience your connection with all that is. Once you decide that, but you haven't had the experience yet, you are now an adept, A-D-E-P-T. And you are committing yourself to that experience. And there's a lot to be gained. Why do you want to have that experience? Why? Because this world, for one thing, this world is falling apart right now. And as many of you are discovering, the old paradigms are not holding up. Another thing is, according to our information, there's going to be a separation of souls. And so if you can tap into this experience, it puts you in a position, I have to be careful how I say this, because we're not talking about heaven and hell here. It puts you in a position to graduate this realm and have a whole new set of possibilities. And everyone on this call has that potential. Some of you have already signed your book in the Book of Life, and you know that. And others of you are questioning it. And others of you are saying, oh, my God, I hope I have more time. You do have more time. There's more time. And if you're on this call and you're hearing my words, you have the tools within our work to do it. And there are other tools. There's other people. Everyone has to find what resonates with them. But if you've already been listening to us and you connect with it and you feel it, it's like your intention is going to create your transformation. And we have a question about transformation and intention tonight. And are you ready, Terry? No, good.
Right,
muted.
Yes.
Let me start with a simple question. Let me just check and see if you're unmuted so I don't ask a question and you're not there. Okay?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. You're loud and clear. Am I loud and clear?
Yeah, you're good.
Our audios are good today?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to thank Heise and Joel for interviewing Heise on Monday. And you know what? Something really lifted for me when they did that. And I'm still trying to put it into words, but we're going to have more of that. In fact, Heis and Joel, I said, why don't you guys be a team and interview people? And so we're putting some people together to be interviewed. Might be some of the volunteers. It might be, this is not a normal interview show. We're not looking for, you know, big, high-profile people. If we ever do that, we might do that. But it has to kind of fit in some way or another in our paradigm. Like, I would interview Michael Tellinger if he would agree, because it fits. And he's a really interesting guy. And the criteria, if you want to be interviewed and you're listening to this, is our work has to have made some kind of contribution to you. And talk about the contribution. And then some of you have ways of manifesting. You can talk about that. We have Zoe, who's been on the call for 3 or 4 years, and she's writing books, and I think she wants to talk about her books. But you got to talk about how you're connected to the work. It has to be authentic. And if you fit the right profile, then we'll be doing that probably once a month, interviewing somebody, and maybe more. And maybe if we decide to go on vacation, we will just say, we're on vacation, because we haven't had a vacation in how long? Long time. Now, sometimes being on these calls is like being on vacation. It's so much fun. And other times, it's like we're processing. So it's getting a lot easier. It's getting so much easier because of all of you, because this is a group energy deal. And when we're on the call, and Terry and I are on the call, so many of you are been holding the space to keep the energies being processed. And I don't know if you really can tap into that process, what's going on in words, but I can. I can say, on these calls, many of you are experiencing the group energy. You're experiencing it. And it used to take a half hour before those energies would come in. And now, almost every time, we hit the ground running. And it's really easy. And you who are experiencing it are helping to process new people that come in. And when new people come in, it's not just myself or Terry that has to hold the energy. We are all holding the energy. I won't say we all, but many of you on the line are holding the energy, and many of you don't even know you're doing that, but you are. And it's like we're bringing a frequency into our planet, and that we are doing it as a team. And if you want to understand that principle, wait until the next time I'm on George Norrie and I have or someone else, and suddenly there's 1,000 people on the call, which could happen. And then you're going to notice and watch. You guys are going to be really important then, because you are going to be holding the energy for all those new people. And it will make it easier. You know, after the last time I was on George Norrie, right afterwards, I mean, it was scary. I mean, how do I meet everybody's expectations? Because people have expectations. They hear me talk about my sister's healing. They expect to show up and everything is going to get better. And I wish that was the case. I do know people have healings on this line. And one of the things that's just really difficult is to talk about that. And it gives some people hope, and they think something's going to happen magically, and then it doesn't. And for other people, it does. And for other people, they are on the calls for 6 months or a year, and then something clicks in and shifts. Because you see, the real deal is that Elohim doesn't heal you. We are them. at a contracted level, and we are creating the bridge between here and there so we can experience the connection. And then they become our friends in high places. And that's when things start to shift. That's when synchronicities come in. They want to be that. But when you come into these calls and you come from many lifetimes of compression in this realm and suffering and difficulty, and that's not true for everybody. Some of you come into these calls and you're already angels and you're already blessing everybody, but some people come in and they have all this baggage, and there's a, like, unpacking and releasing the baggage so that you have space to open up to higher realms. You know, if you are filled with baggage and you're filled with belief patterns and you're filled with traumas and you're filled with resentments and you're filled with impoverishment, and if you're in that space and you're on this call and you say, fix me, problem is, there's no room inside you for something to fix you. Or to the first thing is to get rid of some of the baggage. And we are getting rid of the baggage. Just being on the call is helping you learn how to release your baggage. This, as you release your baggage, spirit is present, energy is present, and it will fill the hole. But you have to get the baggage out of the way, or you won't feel anything, because there's no room to let something new in. That makes sense. Does that make sense to you, Terry?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah. And so then the question is, how do you get rid of baggage? And that's what we talk about all the time. That's the questions people ask. And we're getting some of the best guidance on the planet of how to get rid of baggage and how to make it all work, okay? You're not supposed to be, no matter how unworthy you feel, unworthiness is not the way to make a connection with the higher realms. It is part of your baggage. It's part of your illusion. It's part of the illusion of this realm. Now, if you find yourself saying, yes, okay, I feel unworthy, then the next thing you do is judge yourself. You say, I should be better than this. I should be spiritual. And now you're putting negative on top of negative. So if you find yourself feeling a certain way, and you feel that way habitually, and it keeps coming in so you feel that way, the best way to deal with it is to look at it, observe it, and say, that's not me. That's some old pattern. But I'll go through it as long as I have to. And as many times as you have to say that to yourself, I'm going to say 50 times a day, by looking at something, you are removing yourself, detaching yourself from what you're looking at. And that gives you a vantage point. And as you keep doing that, you separate yourself from the pattern, and eventually the pattern drops. So self-observation and not judging yourself are very important in terms of releasing things. Another thing that's important is every morning, or once a day, take some time and call in the light and see if you can invoke the energies of the higher realms, which you feel in these calls, without being on the call. And start off wherever you are. Even if you think it's not going to happen, I can't do that, but do it anyway. And it's like, that's like building muscle. That's like building your connection. And if you keep doing it, and if you keep observing yourself, you will start releasing these patterns best. And the good news is, because we're at the end of this cycle, you can release things faster now than any time in all of your lifetimes, in the history of mankind, anyway, on this planet, because the energy is there to work for you. Like what we're doing on this call, on these calls, where we can be over the phone and over the internet, and we have lots of people listening, and they can all feel the energy. I don't think that would have been possible 50 years ago. And even with the same intent, if it was possible, it would have happened. People could feel this energy 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but they had to be in a room together to feel it. The energy wouldn't transmit long distances like this in this realm. And now it does. And that's because the energy frequencies are so high that it's giving you a maximum opportunity to get through your stuff. And on that note, let me start going through these questions tonight. And
I wanted to say something before we start. And that's there was a person that said that they were going to back the calls, and they paid for $250 worth of calls, and then they said, they didn't mean that they were going to back everything. They were just going to back $250, and that would be it. And so we've been paying for the calls ourselves and scrambling.
I guess what Terry is saying, and by the way, we really appreciate that the person did that, but when Terry says back the calls, she means that we pay PBS a few hundred dollars every month to be live on PBS.
Over 400 a month.
Over 400 a month.
Yeah.
And we're backed up on paying them. So if you're one of the people, we probably have enough people on PBS that are listening that if everyone donated $5, we could pay the bill. And up till now, we've been paying it out of our own pockets, and I should say, more accurately, we've been trying to pay it because we have about $2,000 that's owed at BBS. So if you see a donate button, and in particular, if you're one of those people listening on BBS, and we know there's quite a few people listening, we would have a lot of gratitude for any help in that direction. Maybe at some point we'll have subscriptions for people that listen for $5 a month. If we only need 100 people doing $5 a month, and we've paid the bill. And, you know, there are so many things we could be doing if we had money. If somebody there out there has lots of money and they want to hear how we would spend money to reach more people, email me. Because we can reach a lot of people, and I know how to do it, and I know what it takes. Of course, the best way is for me to be on George Norrie, and I'm sure that'll happen. I won't say I'm sure. I'm pretty sure that'll happen, unless someone decided they didn't like me there, but I think they do. And so that's the best way. But you know what? There's ways to keep bringing in new people. That find this, and through various kinds of internet things, which I have been studying for the past 4 years because I was so frustrated with making this happen. And I knew it was important, and no one else seemed to get it. So I had to do it myself, and Terry did it herself. And of course, Terry had a good job, and she was supporting it for a while. And now we're selling some pendants, and that's helping to support it. But we're still in debt to BBS Radio. So if you're really listening on BBS and you enjoy our calls, donations.intelligent-infinity.com, and we would really appreciate it. And Terry, that was very good of you to speak up, okay? And when we talk about the person that she actually paid for 2 months worth of calls, and we are really appreciative of that. But I know that we were sure when we started out with Mundus Mondays from BBS, and we were not sure. We didn't think we could afford it, and then we committed it to it because we had the misunderstanding that she was going to pay it every month, but she couldn't afford that. But she was supporting her work, and she paid it for 1 month and maybe part of the second month. And so we do really, really appreciate that. But for those of you that are listening, you're getting the benefit, and you can help us pay BBS and make Don a little happier. This will catch up on our bill with them. Okay, anything else, Terry?
No, I'm going to go into trance now.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? And
yes. This is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is September 18, 2013, and we give greetings to each and every person who is within the sound of the voice, who is listening on a replay or is reading the transcript, and we thank all of the people that are volunteering to make this happen. All of the people also who are donating money to help make this happen. And we are profoundly appreciative of the ability to have this connection with each and every one of you who wishes the connection made. And we take a moment and we orient to the audience. And we ask if you have questions.
First question is from Don Herman, and he asks about this mysterious quality of intention. And intention, we've talked about, is the quality in at least from my point of view, it's the quality inside a human that allows them to thrust through the veil and start creating things that shift and change, that start from a higher realm and then precipitate down. In other words, not by the sweat of the brow, so to speak. And for many people, it's like sometimes when I, this is not the best analogy, but when I tell people they need to make their intention stronger, I get this image of, should I say this, going into the bathroom and saying, oh, I got to get it out. And it's like, I'm not sure that's the way you get intention to work. It's kind of like somehow on these calls, it's kind of like we have a laxative, a way of getting a free flow of energy. It's probably the worst image in the world, so excuse me if you got offended. But Don's question is, what's the difference between intention, desire, visualization, and willpower?
Thank you. Intention is an organizing factor. It begins to organize everything that is in that field of the intention, and it organizes it toward whatever the intention is toward. not only does it organize it, but it connects with the other intentions that are of the same frequency. They resonate together. And so one can then bring in more easily the object of their intention. And behind intention is desire. What is it that you really, really desire? What is it that you want? Then can you put any warmth behind it? Can you put your intention, for the movement forward in a certain direction? Can you project that? And willpower has something to do with it, because if you don't have any willpower, then if you have a very weak intention and you have a very weak desire and you have no willpower because you've been perhaps overcome by the situations around you, you've been overcome by something in the manifest universe that seems very hard to get past or through, then your willpower can diminish. And these things work together, your willpower and your desire and your intention. And what was the fourth?
Intention, desire, visualization, or willpower.
Visualization can help make it real, but if you don't have the other three things behind it, it can just be a picture in the wind that does not have any catching power, does not have any relating power, does not give any power is the word. It doesn't give any power behind what you want to have happen. So visualization can help. It's like the frosting on the cake when you have those other three things. Thank you.
You know, I wanted to add something from my own point of view. What I find is that if I can learn to bring in the energies, like in a meditation or on the calls, and then I feel the connection to the field. And when I feel the connection in the field, I realize that what I think is really important. And so then I drop an idea of something into the field. It's like dropping a pearl into an ocean. And the field picks it up, and it starts to have an energy in the field that operates on its own, looking for the fulfillment of what I was looking, you know, putting out for. Then I have to do the physical movement of energy. In other words, if you wanted to get a job, for example, you could move into the field and say, right now, there is somebody out there looking for me. Because there is. And you hold it in that space. And you say, I'm putting it out that I find the person that's looking for me, and I'm looking for them, and we have a great relationship, and I earn money. Now, if you do all that, then don't pick up the phone or go out the door or go where people are or knock on doors looking for a job, then it's not going to work. It's probably not going to work. But if you do that and then you move yourself into the space where what you're wanting can come to fruition, then you're really increasing your potentials. Now, if you can do all that and get over your feelings of unworthiness, then you can almost knock on the door of a company, and it doesn't matter that you're broke. You'll walk in the door, you'll be glowing, you'll be spreading energy everywhere. People are saying, who's that beautiful person that just walked in the door? And that greatly increases your chances of getting a job. But you can't, most often, part of us wants a job and part of us is feeling unworthy. And so the unworthiness goes in front of us, which puts a thought form out in other people's minds that you're worthless. And if people think you're worthless, then you have to really work to get a job while you're putting out this feeling of worthlessness. And the only way you can put out worthiness, let me not say the only way, but the best way to put out worthiness is to move into the experience that you are part of divinity, and you're in this realm, and that the universe loves you, the Elohim loves you, and you love yourself. That's easier said than done, but when you do that, you're suddenly putting out worthiness. Now, I know I've gone through all of this lifetime. I've gone through unworthiness. I know the feeling of it. It's one of the reasons I can talk about it so well, because I can see what I've had to do to go from feeling unworthy to worthy. I can see it. And that's why I can share it with you. So that's one of the great things about going through something, is when you really master it, you can help other people master it. And
we have something more that we would like to add also, and that is when a person is formulating ideas and thoughts within their space, this is often picked up by somebody else in another body, in a different location, but who is thinking about the same subject. For instance, the person that is the headhunter, the job getter, the putting forth of jobs and the matching up with the jobs with the people who are going to get the jobs, they sometimes have a field that is specific toward the people who have signed up to apply for the jobs. And when they go through their job list and are thinking, is this person, this job here, is this person right for this job, it often goes beyond the barrier of the here and the location where the person or the two people are. And somewhere within the bridge of consciousness, these two people connect, and it can be telepathic. And it almost can be that the headhunter is interviewing the person, and the person is picking it up. It's like, I wonder if this job can be the right job for this person. And let's say the other person on the other end who's looking for the job is picking that up clear, way above the realm of their consciousness. It's picking that. They're picking it up, and they're saying, you know, I don't feel like working. I would rather, instead of working, I just would rather be, you know, fishing every day. And like that headhunter picks that up and says, well, you know, I think that this person might not be the right person for the job next. And so interview took place just in the connection bridge between the two people on that subject, where at a whole different level than the third density in the realm and speed of thought, this whole interaction telepathically takes place. So by having the right intention for what you want and having the harmonious desires and intentions and visualizations and willpower all connected so that there's not inconsistencies, then you put it out to the universe, what it is that you want, and other people really get it at an unconscious level. Thank you.
I remember the story of a guy that was paying attention to our work and was needing a job, since we're using that as a way of intention. He was needing a job, and he shifted his consciousness where he was more positive. And as soon as he did that, somebody that he left an application 2 years ago suddenly said, I was going through the applications and your thing popped out at me. Okay? And it worked. Okay? And the universe is so sensitive. And you don't realize. And so often we become a victim. And when we're a victim, victim goes hand in hand with worthlessness. So don't judge yourself for being a victim. Don't judge yourself for feeling worthless. But identify the problem and realize is if the world is pushing against you, then it's giving you the opportunity to develop muscle to push back and to overcome whatever's pushing against you, whatever the obstacle is. Next question here. We got a lot of questions, and we're talking about all this stuff. Let's see here. This is a question from Edna, and Edna is going through emotions of irritability and sadness lately. And is the energy shift affecting me that much? What can I do to be more balanced and improve my emotional state? And I have a friend, Gerhard, in Germany, who is very sick. Is that affecting me on an unconscious level? Thank you.
Thank you. One of the best things to do is to observe yourself. And when a feeling of sadness sweeps across you, figure out what happened just before then and what the connection of what just happened before would be to that feeling of sadness, because the feeling of sadness is in direct result to something that you are looking at just before you notice the feeling of sadness, that something that where there is a loss, something that you wanted so to connect with, and there's a feeling of ungroundedness and a lack of connection and a feeling of loss where that feeling of sadness comes in because of the loss or because of the non-connection which you had desired. So then it is a matter of just observing yourself, getting acquainted with what it is that triggers that feeling, what it is that you lost, what it is that you wanted to have happen, what it is you wanted to make a strong connection with it. Then for the moment, it was not strong. And so there wasn't this emotional support to stand on and move into sadness.
Thank you. Matt Savino had about four questions, and let me ask a couple of them. There's some big questions, Matt. I don't ask all your questions. Submit them again next week, okay, because they're good ones, and they'll help people. The one that I put on my email, I better ask that one because sometimes I forget. Could you explain the value of shamanic and psychedelic experiences, okay? And for those of you not aware, shamanic means working with certain people who work with nature spirits, work with all kinds of God forms to make things shift, things happen. And psychedelics like LSD, psilocybin mushrooms, and many people are attracted. People that go into sweat lodges, the Native Americans do. You probably call that shamanic. Okay? So, sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. There are several subjects in the main question here. One of them is the shamans. Often you have a shaman in a tribe who practices with herbs and can help people to feel better and can be a terminal to talk to when something is needed, a support for the people. However, one should choose the shaman that they follow very carefully to see that the results that the shaman is giving are beneficial and that they are not using shamanistic practices that could place spells on people and take away their free will. Shamanism has a very broad category, and so you can find many different types of processes and practices within that category. One needs to have discernment when they choose which practice or shaman they are going to follow. So the other category is psychedelic. Psychedelic experience can lend one to go out of control of their surroundings, or feel out of control. There can be a wider look at things. However, we cite some examples. One gentleman that we worked with was taking drugs in an effort to release themselves and to learn more. And they got themselves stuck outside of their body, and they were not able to go back. And the body died, and there they remained in a cocoon-like state, not knowing how to advance, and still holding on to the last thing that they were attempting to do. And the last thing that they were thinking of before they went into this cocoon state in their own psyche. They were scared to come out of it. They were scared to connect, and they didn't know what to connect with because the body died and was gone. And all they kept thinking was, I promised to call my mother. And they couldn't figure out what to do to get out of it. And so we went to them, and we began talking to them and got them to move within their own consciousness and to look outside of themselves and see what was going on, and to which point they began to function again. So drugs can be very detrimental towards one's and unpredictable towards one's path. There are some sensory perceptions that one can experience, like the brilliance of colors, the isolating and movement of molecules. However, it is an unpredictable area for one to follow.
Thank you. And I think there are things that can stimulate your higher chakras at the expense of your lower chakras. And there are things that can impact your DNA that you don't realize that you're being impacted. And we're almost out of time. We have 2 minutes.
There's another thing that can happen, and that's the body can use up much-needed nutrients and release them in a burst, which gives the person a high, but then leaves the person deficient, and so they really crash. So if they learn to understand about herbs and the use of foods, then they can have a sustained, a better life, a more consistent, sustained, good feeling life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know what? We have a question from Lise. And it's not time to read her whole question, but I will just cut to the chase, and maybe I'll ask more next week. The question is, she lives with her daughter in Lise in Rimrock, Arizona, and she feels her life is totally oppressed. She doesn't have any energy. She has physical problems, and it feels like she's a very loving, confident person, and she thinks she's pulling in negative stuff that's blocking her. What can we tell her to help her through her situation? And we got about 90 seconds. Maybe we can stretch it to 2 minutes, and then we have to cut off. Thank you.
Thank you. We see some goals, some desires which you have, some fulfillment. Something that you feel that would fulfill you, and that where you are in your location, it is not being fulfilled. There is a nutritional need, a need for the overhaul of the digestive system so that you are manufacturing B vitamins within your digestive tract. Those are the two main areas. Something that you would want to achieve, and then the nutritional backup for you.
So, and even though she feels she has no energy, if she found something she wanted to achieve, even if she did a little bit each day, that would build the energy over time. Is that the idea?
Yes, however, it could be in conjunction with, and be sure and drink enough water to give you energy and nutritional to get your digestive system working so that it provides you with the nutrients. The whole thing can be done together little by day by day.
We better get off because we got a few seconds left, and BBS has got another call, I believe, waiting to come on. So thank you for letting us stretch this to the last minute. And thank you all. Thank you, Terry. Thank everybody. And we'll see you Sunday. And I am so grateful that all of you keep showing up and are teaching us how to do this and helping to hold the energy for what we're doing. And thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you,